for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Men's Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, October the 14th, 2017. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the service, teaching on Christ's claim on you.
A couple of things. One thing is there's lots of books here, and I'm not hawking books, but I have some back there. My wife has one, assistant pastor. This one, Overcomer's Manual. Manual to Aid in Deliverance from Sin. We passed this out in the jail. There was one young man that that put him in solitary. He's very angry. Didn't think he belonged in there. And he looked down and he saw this book and he read it through twice. So the next Tuesday night he came over and sat right beside me. And then when the meeting started, he said, "I got something to say." He said, "I was in segregation and I saw that book and I read it through twice," and he said, "I got saved." And anyway, it's a real help, and the camp gets all, we give these, we donate these to the camp. And this one's The Power of God. There's others back there, so I want to inform you of those. Also, if you'd like to be on our my email list, if you'll see me afterwards and you get email, you're interested, well, give me your email address. And we'll put you on there. If you don't like it, you can get off. Plenty of people do, so there you go. Praise God. I got over a bit, my feelings being hurt. Oh, I didn't get off. Well, praise God. It's been good, hasn't it? It's really good. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. And you're going to continue to do more. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of standing and ministering to these esteemed men this morning. I thank you for that, Father. And I ask that the Holy Spirit would come up on all of us and anoint us this morning, as in every service and in the prayers in the morning, prayer time, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about Christ's claim on you. Christ's claim on you. He has a claim on us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Do you not know that your body is the temple? That word meaning house or dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. Pay attention to which is in you. It's not a mistake. It says in. This scripture is not written to everyone. I don't know about you, but you hear people claim scriptures that they have no claim to. They don't meet the requirements, but they want to say it applies to them, and it doesn't. But it's written, who is it written to? Only to those who have the Holy Spirit in them. In them. Do you not know that your body, this physical body, is the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? So it's written to those that the Holy Spirit is in, which you have of God, and you are not your own. So it's only written to those that have the Holy Spirit within them, not to the ones who have the Holy Spirit with them. There's a difference between in and with. In John 14:16, Jesus speaking said, "I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he," this is the Holy Spirit, "may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, and listen to this, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you." in you. The question is, can you receive the Holy Spirit? Can you? The world can't. Can you? And if you can or can't, that's the dividing line. That's how you know if you're of the world or of God. Jesus breathed, and a little later in John chapter 20, he breathed upon his disciples, and he said, "Receive you the Holy Ghost. Receive you the Holy Ghost." I want to tell you the most important thing that Jesus came to do, and you may disagree with me, was to make it possible for us to receive the Holy Spirit. When John the Baptist was baptized in the River Jordan, and they said, "Are you the Christ?" He said, "No, I'm not. There comes one after me that is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall..." What's he going to do? Of all the things that John could say about Christ, what's he going to say? "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." He could have said anything. And sometimes we try to make it be anything and everything, our laundry list. "But he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." The most important thing for us this morning, if we're born again, if the Holy Spirit is with us, is for us to be baptized in or with the Holy Spirit, for him to come and live in us. That's the next step. Very important. Now, Christ said this to his disciples only because they could see the Holy Spirit and because they knew the Holy Spirit. Now, why did Christ say this to these men? Because by his witness, Christ, the witness of Christ, the Holy Spirit was dwelling with them. He was with them. When Jesus was standing in the Jordan River, he came up out of the water. The heavens opened. The Holy Spirit came upon him in a bodily form, rested upon him, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He became a different man. From that point on, he did miracles, he taught, he preached. From that point on. Now, so he could say this to them. They knew the Holy Spirit and could see the Holy Spirit because Jesus was, Christ was there with him. That's how. Now, why did Christ say this to them? Now, standing in that Jordan River, the Holy Spirit came to live in Christ. Came to live in him. And from that day forth, and I know some people might maybe never thought about this, maybe you would like to argue this point, but I want to show you this. In Philippians chapter 2, it says that Christ said, "Let this mind be you, which was also in Christ Jesus." It says that he did not grasp equality with God. He did not consider it a thing to grasp or hold on to, equality with God. But he emptied himself, came in the form of a man, the form of a servant. Now, so he is emptied. He is emptied. Never a recording of a miracle done until he's standing in that Jordan River and the Holy Spirit comes upon him and in him. Never. It's the only words that are recorded is when he's 12 years old. But his life changed at that point, standing in that river. If you're wondering this morning why you aren't where you know you should be or think you should be, perhaps you should look at that. Am I full of the Holy Ghost? Luke chapter 4, that's chapter 3 is baptizing in the Holy Spirit there in that water after he's baptized in water. He did not need to be baptized under repentance. He'd never sinned. But he was obedient. And because, and what does it say? He gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. Mm-hmm. So the Holy Spirit came and he becomes a different person. Now, from that point on, he began to say and to do the works of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealing to him what the Father was saying, what the Father was doing, and therefore he could say and do the same. On the day of Pentecost, I want to say this. Jesus said, "I only hear what I heard with my Father." And some might take that, well, before Jesus came to earth, he sat in class, heavenly Bible school for so long and learned what to say when he got here. That's not what happened. He came, he emptied himself and depended upon the Holy Spirit to show him what the Father was doing and to tell him what the Father was saying. There's your ministry there. That is ministry. It's not on the internet. It's not in books. It's not copying what somebody else said or did. Our message is to be revelation, not information. Information, the letter, kills. The Spirit, revelation, makes alive. I do not want to sit under anyone that is not preaching Christ and therefore preaching life.
Amen.
He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. I don't want to hear their motivational speeches. I don't want to hear all this other garbage, you know, politics, whatever it is. Is that person preaching Christ? Is the gospel in that presentation? Now, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to live in a people for the first time in history. Never before had the Holy Spirit lived in a people. He had come upon many, but he had never lived in a people. Is he living in you this morning?
Amen.
That's what our scripture said. You're the dwelling place, the temple, the home, the house of the Holy Spirit, which is in you. There was only one person up to that time that the Holy Spirit was living in. That's Christ. But that one person returned to the throne of his Father in heaven. And from that position in the throne of God, he sent down from heaven the same Holy Spirit to live now in 120 people. And you know what? In millions since then. The devil perhaps thought he had dealt a death blow to Christ, to the work of God. But now there's no longer one, there's millions of us. Because the Holy Spirit. He said, I must go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come. But if I go away, I'll send him unto you. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached. He said, what you see as Christ is returned to the Father and pouring out what you see and what you hear. There's something to see, there's something to hear, right? It's not all hearing. There's things to see, praise God. Now, what you have there is the ministry, the hearing is the ministry of the Word, ministry of Christ. The seeing is the ministry of the Spirit, where you have the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating, and miracles, signs, wonders, so forth taking place. To have the Holy Spirit in you, you must receive the Holy Spirit as He is. You know, the Scripture says that they took Jesus in a ship as He was. That's interesting. As He was, they did not take Him as something or someone they wanted Him to be, but as He was. You will find in talking to people, counseling with people, praying with people, they're always wanting to change that to what they want it to be. And sometimes you'll have to interrupt them. And they're going to go off on making this what they want it to be, bring it back to what He is. You know, everyone's written their own doctrine. They've written their own plan of salvation. They've written their own Bible, basically. We all have. One time I was at Galveston Island with my kids. I was sitting in the bay, and I didn't care anymore about getting in that water. And they were out there swimming on the beach. And a man came along and said, could I have $5 to buy something to eat? I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you know Christ? He said, oh, I do. He said, I used to smoke 5 packs a day. Now I only smoke 3. That was his plan of salvation. He cut it down to 3. That was his salvation. I was preaching a funeral one time. It was a great size, a large crowd there. I didn't know the man, but a family asked me to preach because I preached some of their family members. And so I didn't put him in heaven. And I don't think that's my job. You know, they either put their self in or out. But you go to most funerals. Did you know if you'll go to nothing? Everybody's going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to heaven. Praise God. And a lot of lying going on. But anyway, I just preach Christ. When I got through, the funeral home director was very frustrated. I didn't do a good enough job putting that brother in. That's why I say that man in heaven. So he took over from, I never had this happen before. He just took over, just walked up, took over. And he said, I don't remember his name, he said, he's a good old boy. He painted the funeral home, you know. And so that was, I'm telling you, everybody writes their own definition of salvation, whatever it is. So we all need to go find a funeral home and paint it. We make heaven, you know. And if you paint a church, it's probably even better, you know. But so I'm not telling you, these are things that really happen, folks. Praise God, really happen. It's like you're standing there watching it, can't believe it, but there it is right in front of you. Hallelujah. They took him as he is. In other words, just as we must not receive Christ of our own imagination, a Christ that we have created, a Christ that we've made to fit what we want, what will work for us. Neither can we receive our idea of the Holy Spirit as we want Him to be to us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 again, what? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought, what are we talking about? Christ has a claim on us. You're not your own, you're bought with a price. He has a claim on us. And therefore, glorify, that word means reflect God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Occasionally, we need to remind ourselves we're not our own. When you are thinking about doing something you want to do, buy something you want to buy, go somewhere you want to go, wait a minute. You're not your own. You're not your own. Come on now, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're not in charge anymore. You don't own yourself. Somebody owns you. Praise God. Some people have a problem with Jesus cursing the fig tree because he had found no figs on it. That's not right. Well, I'm going to tell you, he made that fig tree. It belonged to him. He can do whatever he wants to with it.
Amen.
And let me tell you something this morning. Don't be going around whining and cry baby and feel sorry for yourself. You belong to him. He can do what he wants to with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Paul said, I am determined to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. He owns me. Whatever he wants to do with me, praise God. Some of us, he's doing it, but we're digging our heels in and clawing the ground as he pulls us along, you know. 1 Corinthians 7:23, for you are bought with a price. Do not be the servants of men. Christ Jesus has a claim on you because he bought you with his blood, which was shed on Calvary outside of Jerusalem. We'll either surrender to his claim on us every day, daily, and to do that you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow him. That's the only way that he can effectively take what is his. We are the reward of his suffering. And may he receive the reward of his suffering, which is us. That's why in Hebrews chapter 12, he endured the cross, the shame, everything connected to it, for the joy that was set before him. And praise God, we can be the joy that is set before him. Christ has a claim on you. Now, we'll either surrender his claim, his ownership of us, or we will perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. To believe in Christ is to believe from a position of being in him, not as being beside him, alongside him, or hiding behind him, but in him. Believing in from a position of believing in him. Praise God. Believing in him, a position. It is a position. Yes, if I believe in Christ, I will not perish. But what does it mean to believe in him? To truly believe in Christ is to be willing to submit to him in all things. To obey him in all things and to suffer with him. 2 Timothy 3:10, but you have fully known this is Apostle Paul, my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. What was Paul's purpose? He was called according to God's purpose. And therefore he lived not according to his own purpose, but according to God's purpose. You know, the scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Well, things are not working good for me. Well, is it your purpose or his purpose? It's important that we read the next verse. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he, his Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. God has one thing for every one of us, and that's that we be conformed to the image of the Son. It's not your ministry, it's not your marriage, it's not your business, it's not whatever, whatever. It's one thing that we be conformed to the image of the Son. How's that working for you? How's it going? Are you being conformed to the image of the Son? Or is he your Santa Claus or your genie in the lamp that you're going to rub and he's going to come out and say, what do you want? What do you need? And then if he doesn't do it, you'll fast, try to twist his arm, complain, whatever. The reason for most of our frustration is our purpose is different from his purpose. And when his purpose becomes our purpose, then that stuff will stop. And we realize that he's going to make all things work together for the good. The good is his purpose. Not for making us feel better, have more stuff, more toys, more whatever. Praise God. One time I was preaching under a tent in Dallas to the homeless, and the pastor asked me, he said, I want you to preach repentance, and I want you to pray for the people. Well, there's another pastor or minister, he wasn't the pastor before me, and when we got there, it was already going, and he was preaching prosperity to those homeless people, how God was going to bless them and all this, you know. And I guess he thought that's what they needed was some prosperity. Now, what we need is Christ. So when he got through, it's my turn. If you're going to preach repentance, you got to preach what you repent of. And I preached to them that they need to repent of their sin. You're sinning, you need to repent of your sinning. And I hear this guy stand behind me, he starts rebuking me. I mean, just out loud rebuking me. I thought, what is this? I just turned around and gave the microphone back to him. I don't have to be there and I don't have to preach to those people. Here, have it back. Do what you want. If the pastor wants you to do it, do it. And so the first thing he does, he takes the microphone and says, I just will not allow anyone to dishonor God's people, to hurt God's people, to discourage God's people. And I didn't know that he didn't believe in repentance. He believed that all you had to do to be saved was confess the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart, and you're saved. And anyway, that went on and on for a while. Now, because Paul loved God, and he was called according to God's purpose, he was living according to God's purpose, wasn't he? Therefore, all things were working together for good, are working to assist in conforming Paul to the image of his Son, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. We're all together different from him. We must change. God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit does not join us. We join him. When we talk about becoming one with him, he does not become one with us. We must become one with him. He cannot deny himself. He does not change. We have to change. Is that right? Amen. We have to change. And sometimes change hurts. Mm-hmm. It hurts. Last year at the men's meeting, we were praying for a man. Me and someone, he's not here this year, we're praying for a man. The Lord gave me a word for him. And it was obvious by the expression on his face, he did not like that word. So he went and sat down and waited his turn and got in the other line. See if he could get a better word over there on that side, you know. Do you get offended? Praise God. Do you get offended? When you can, you know, you have to tell people truth.
Amen.
Only the truth can set them free. To flatter them or whatever, only the truth can set them free.
Yes.
Not my truth or your truth, but the truth. By the way, the truth is Christ, and whom the Son, the truth, has set free is free indeed. And so he goes on to say, verse 11, persecutions, afflictions which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all that shall or will live God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Only if we suffer with Christ can we reign with him. Gentlemen, do you hear that? Only if we suffer with Christ will we reign with him. You can reign on this earth if you want to. or you can reign with Him in eternity. Last Saturday was my birthday, and some friends invited us. We went and ministered to them, but we went to their home, about a $3 million home. And that's all, you know, whatever they have. My wife and I live in 400 square feet upstairs in the Shiloh house. But I don't envy anything that he has. Sometimes I drive around in parts of the Dallas area, and I look at all that and I say, well, here it is, rich man. You've got it now. But later on, you know, what do you tell the rich man? He said, you got your good stuff. You know, you got it. But now you are in torment and Lazarus is being blessed. Do you want to reign now or do you want to reign with him? Are you going to go after what this is in this world, after positions? You know, the rich young ruler, that was his problem. He was a ruler, and the Lord said you got to give up being a ruler, and you have to give up your stuff and come and follow me, and he would not do it because he wanted to reign on this earth. And then you have those that said, we will not have this man to reign over us or to rule over us, speaking of Christ. We won't have that. All of us make that decision. When it says we're not our own, we're bought with a price, therefore glorify or reflect God in our body and our spirit, it's saying who is going to reign? You or him? Who's going to do this? I was saying some of that this morning. The Lord showed me a little early this morning. I need to say that because are you here because there are some uncomfortable things in your life and you want to get rid of them? Maybe to save your marriage, to save your job, to save your freedom so you don't go to jail. You know, whatever. Is that why you're here? Or are you here because he owns you and you want to come into his image? Why are you here this morning? It's obvious sometimes you pray with people. All they want is some relief from some habit in their life that's costing them. They don't want Jesus. Except that Jesus will do something for them. He's their spare tire in the trunk or under the bed of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a Ford pickup and you got to stick that thing in there and turn it. Well, I didn't know that there's supposed to be a little deal on the end of there. It's a key, you know. So that spare tire was absolutely worthless without that little key. Another time when I was young, we were hauling a load of lumber down to my parents' farm late at night. And we had all this lumber stacked on the spare tire. We had a blowout. We had to pull all that lumber out to get to that tire. You know what it was when we got to it? Just guess. It was flat. Someday you're going to open the trunk to get Jesus your flat tire out and he's going to be flat. Your spare tire out and he's going to be flat because you hadn't had... It's like Brother Merrill's talking, telling us this morning. You haven't cultivated that relationship with him. You know what? I was coming back from Mexico several years ago, late at night. I was on a dark road, and it was dark. And I looked up, and there's a black cow on the black road and the black knight standing right in front of me, going that way. I did not have time to repent. I didn't have time to pray through. All I had time to say was, Jesus, help me. Praise God. And he did. Tore the car up. But he kept me, you know. Praise God. Only if we suffer with Christ can we reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. To deny Christ is to reject the image or the person of Christ. The image of Christ means the person of Christ. When he said that we be conformed to the image of Christ, he means the person of Christ. Many will gladly confess, profess, or identify with his image or his person as long as they can do this from a distance. If the image of Christ, the person of Christ, the testimony of Christ comes too close, they become very uncomfortable. It says, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man of whom the devils had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. This is the man that no one could pass by. They put chains on him, he'd break the chains. He was a violent man. He cried all night, lived in the tombs, cut himself. And so when they were afraid of him, but when they come and see him sitting at the feet of Jesus and clothed in his right mind, then they're afraid. Make up your mind, you know. What are you afraid of? You know what? This world is afraid of people that are in their right mind who sit at the feet of Jesus. They're afraid of us.
Amen.
Praise God. Martha was afraid of Mary because she sat at the feet of Jesus and wanted the Lord to make her get up. You start getting too many revelations, you get too close to God, people get afraid of you. You know, that bothers them. One thing, they know they ought to be there, but they're not willing to. So they got to put you down. And they also, which saw it told by what means that he was possessed, that he that was possessed of the devils was healed. The whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought Christ to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. When we preach the gospel of Christ, what will people see when they see those that we minister to? What will they see? Will they see someone sitting at the feet of Christ, clothed and in the right mind? Is that what they're going to see? Now, therefore, why should we die? This is Deuteronomy 5. You know, at the mouth of God, Mount Horeb, when God came down, the thunderings, the lightnings, the voice, the trumpets, all that great display. And they said, they told Moses, you tell God, don't do that anymore. They ran to their tents and hid. Tell him, don't do that anymore. You tell God to talk to you, you come tell us what he said. What? They didn't want God to come that near. They did not want him to come that near. When I was young, I was dating a girl, and I was raised Pentecostal, but I went to her church, and it didn't take me long to figure out they were prophesying to people, and they were telling things. I stayed as close to that back door as I could because I wasn't about to go down there. I didn't want to come that close. They might tell what I was doing. You understand? They might tell what I was doing. That's different from someone that's always prophesying good to you. You know, oh, you know, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be a great minister. You're going to sing in the choir. You're going to whatever. But when they start revealing the secrets of your heart, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, they reveal the secrets of your heart. And it says they fall down at your feet and confess that Christ is among you. It's different. So they want us. They said, if we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. Why do they think they want to die? Because they were rebellious, hard-hearted, hard-headed. Didn't want to obey God. They didn't see themselves as being bought. Do you think that they weren't bought? He brought them out. He bought them. They were a bought people, just like you and I. We're bought. We owe him something. We owe him everything.
Amen.
Not just walking down. I walked down the church aisle, shook the preacher's hand, repeated the prayer. Signed the card, got the t-shirt, whatever. You know, so I that's it. No, it's not. You owe him today. You owe him tomorrow. You owe him to your very last breath. You are bought forever. You're not just bought at a point somewhere in your life. We are bought forever. Men, we have no right to direct our own lives. We'll perish if we do. God's not playing with this. He means business. Either he owns us or we'll perish, as in the lake of fire. It's no other way. Be the fig tree that doesn't have figs and see what he does. Praise God. Now, they were uncomfortable with that. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he remains faithful, he cannot deny himself. People may deny the image or person of Christ, like the Gadarenes, or like the children of Israel at Mount Horeb, but he will not deny himself. He will not commit himself to something, including church programs, or someone that is not in his image. He will not do that. I just don't know why I can't have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, why I can't do this and can't do that. Oh, I found on the internet where you can study and you can, you know, I'll go over here and somebody's going to impart this to you and you can do it. And they want to go around, they're like Simon the Sorcerer, they want to buy this, they don't want to submit. Mm-hmm. And what did Peter say to him? Your heart's not right with God. You're in the gall of bitterness, buddy. you lost your place and now you want to get it back? Is ministry to you a place, a position of like the religious leaders so people will see you and applaud you and so you can be important? Is that what it is to you? Some it's money to them. I've never been there, but it's money to them. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Will you do something for me? Will you stand with me? Now you can sit back down. Thank you. Stretch if you need to. Now, you might say, I don't want to reign with him because I don't want to suffer. I'll just be content with the salvation of not perishing. Stay under the radar. Don't attract the attention of the devil or anybody else, you know. What if Jesus had watered his message down to appease, what if he had joined up with the elders and, you know, let me say this. If people can't beat you, they'll join you and beat you from within. You know what I'm, you understand what I'm saying? From within. Can anyone pick and choose what parts of the gospel of Christ they will obey and still have the approval of God and still receive eternal life? Christ will have nothing to do with us unless we suffer with him. There is no option or choice here. To not suffer is to not live godly in Christ Jesus. One of the Wesley brothers was on his horse making the rounds, preaching. And he's riding along and he realized nobody had thrown anything at him in a while. He got very disturbed over it. Got off his horse, got down in the bushes and started repenting. Because all that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to get things thrown at them. So he's repenting. After he's praying there a while, then he feels something hit him in the back of the head. And all he jumped up so happy, said, thank you, Jesus. Got back on his horse and went on his merry way. You just don't want to stir anything up, do you? And I'm not talking about being just saying stupid stuff and aggravating people and offending people on purpose. We're not talking about that. Praise God. 2 Timothy 3:12, yes, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'm going to say this. It's coming to this country. You know that? It's coming here. And we may think we're in the new Israel. I don't know what you think we are, but it's coming. And I don't even... Hey, Israel got caught plenty of it, okay? It's coming. What does it mean to live godly? I need to stop. So I hear people talk about, I'm going to die for the Lord. Okay, Peter. Yeah. You know. Terrible things are coming. And it's almost like they say it with a smile on their face. Let me tell you, what's coming to this nation, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good at all. It's going to be horrible. Terrible. Beyond our imagination. It's coming here. You say, how do you know that? Well, all the nations that forget God, he'll turn them into hell. We look at history, and what did he do with his own people? When they got away from him, which, can anybody in here say that this nation has not gotten away from God? Haven't we got away from him? If you just look at the abortions, look at them. That's murder, by the way, the millions and millions that have been murdered. Look at the, I don't want to go into that, but you know we're in trouble. Do you not know that? And I personally don't see it turning around. I know some people say we're going to have a great revival before this is over. I hope we do. If we do, it'll be because he brings judgment so that we'll fall on our face before him and repent. But as it is, why should they? Why should they repent? So long as they can drive a new truck, live in a nice house, eat wherever they want to go, let's go here to eat tonight. No, we went there last night or last week. Well, let's go over there, you know, all that kind of thing. As long as the football shows are coming on their show, you know. As long as that entertainment, as long as this, that whatever our little flesh wants, you know, we're happy. Hallelujah. And oh Lord, please don't take it away from me. To live godly means to live like God, to be changed in the same image of Christ, who was the brightness of his glory, his Father's glory, God's glory, and express exact image of God's person. Hebrews 1:3. To be in the same image of Christ before this world is to invite the same persecution of this world that Christ Jesus endured. It's the same. Now remember, Jesus speaking, remember the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, Christ, they will also persecute you. If you're not being persecuted, because Christ is the one being persecuted, if you're not being persecuted, you don't have Christ. Christ is going to be persecuted, folks. What do I mean, Christ? Not somebody's idea of Christ, but the person, the image of Christ. What he is, not what somebody's made to be their Christ. You understand the difference? How do you know what the image of Christ is? Only the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 16, the Holy Spirit will take the things of mine and show them unto you. That's the only way you can know what he is or who he is. Any of us. Remember, Christ will have nothing to do with us unless we suffer with him. What does it mean that he will have nothing to do with us? Matthew 7:23. Now, after they say, Lord, we did this, we did that, we cast out devils, we did miracles on. He'll say, and then will I, Christ, profess to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. The only thing that God knows is his Son. The only thing that the Father knows is his Son. The only thing, person, whatever, image that he knows and approves of is his Son. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. What does it mean to work iniquity? It means to do anything outside of the image or person of Christ, or that is not in alignment with the exact image of Christ. It means not to be complete in Christ. That's what it means. Iniquity, not to be complete in Christ in our thinking, our desires, our speech, our actions. Eve was not content to be complete in Christ, but rather she chose to go outside of Christ by disobeying his commandment not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She was not... Let me say one thing. The whole... If you wanted to just... What is this whole thing? What is this whole thing of salvation? It means to be complete in Christ. You're not complete in your wife. You're not complete in your children. Not in your job. Not in your ministry. Not in your stuff. Not your age, your looks, or anything else. We are only complete in Christ. If we are not complete in Christ, we're not complete. The only thing the Father is going to accept are those that are complete in Christ. If we think that we can throw some piece of something, religion, to him and he's going to take it, we're very wrong. That's why he said, few there be that find it. It's serious, folks. Men, it's serious. It's all the way with him, or it's nothing. King Saul, he was given a word, a commandment. He went and did part of it and lost the kingdom over it. Eve listened to the lie of the devil, which was that she could be like God by going outside of Christ, eating that fruit. No one can be like Christ without being changed in the image of Christ, and that's by the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say you may get all the demons out of you, but unless you're changed in the image of Christ, you're none the better. You're none the better. Don't come here. This won't get rid of your problems, but you don't want to be changed, transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, as we behold him, we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. Is that not right? Not the form of God. They were formed out of the dust of the earth, but they were created in the image of God. Now, how did they lose? God said to them, in the day that you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. They did not die physically, did they? Their form did not die, but the image of God in them died. The image of God, they were created in the image of God, meaning they could communicate with God. But the day they ate of that fruit, they could no longer communicate with God. When he came in the cool of the day, what did they do? They hid from him because they had lost the image of God and could not communicate with God. So they had to hide from him. That image was lost. Now, the serpent... The serpent was made, his form was changed. It was not, of course, created in the image of God. But his form was changed. Our form was not changed. The image, we lost the image. We did not lose the form. I can't look at you and think I'm seeing God created in his image. It doesn't mean the form. It means the image, the person, what he is. That was lost by Adam and Eve. But what did he tell to the serpent? You'll crawl on your belly now. His form was changed. Our form is the same. Jesus, in Philippians chapter 2, he came. Now, he let go of, so to speak, the image of God. He emptied himself of that power. I need to back up on that. He emptied himself of the power, not the image. But he came in the form of a man. He didn't walk around here looking different from everybody else. In fact, he had no comeliness, no beauty that anyone should desire him. Now, Eve tried to take a shortcut. It didn't work. It'll never work for any of us. Anything other than being changed in the same exact image of Christ is to surely perish in the second death, which is the lake of fire. The lake of fire. Let me say this. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. Did you know there is a second death? It is appointed unto everyone to die the first time, but not the second time. The reason, okay, what is the second death? It's the lake of fire. We after death, the judgment, those that are found right, you know, the judgment seat of Christ, the rewards are passed out. The sin thing is already taken care of. We're there because we're in the image of Christ. The only thing getting into heaven is the image of Christ. Nothing else is going to heaven. If we're not changed into that image, we're not going there. The only thing getting into heaven is the image of Christ. We must be changed into his image. That's why we're still breathing, so we can be changed. I don't know what people think. They can go lying, cheating, stealing, getting angry, cussing, whatever. But as long as they did whatever the church leaders told them to do, and when they die, they're going up there, magic dust sprinkled on them. Maybe it's gold dust, I don't know, or feathers, angel feathers. But then all that stuff's going to drop off of them. No, it's not. As the tree falls, so shall it lie. Whatever we were, we will be. And if we die in the image of Christ, when he said, those that are alive, he said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ. What does it mean, in Christ? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Does that bother us when he says all things become new? Oh, I've got some things that are not new. I got some old things. It's not all past. I'm not all new. Well, that's called the process of sanctification. It is a process, like Brother Merrill said, I'm a work in progress. But are you? If we're sitting here this morning, licking our wounds, feeling sorry for ourselves, I want this, I want that, like a spoiled child, I want to tell you what you better want. You better want the image of Christ in you. We better want to be changed into his image. Otherwise, we're going to miss the whole thing. That's as clear and plain as it can be. If it's not that way, we'll be made merchandise of. We'll be taken advantage of. Let me say this. If you're desperate for anything but Christ, other than Christ, you're going to be taken advantage of. If you fear anyone other than him, you're going to be taken advantage of. If you fear anything, if you fear death, the devil will rattle your chain, pull you, jerk you around. That's all that's got to go. I have one motive, one objective, and that's to be changed into the same image or person of Christ. That's what he said, and that's the way it is. And you can't argue that. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image, the person of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We can't just get saved and go on our merry way, and now we got Jesus to help us get all this stuff we want, and get us out of trouble, and get rid of the uncomfortable things in our life that are going to cost us. Amen? I'm sorry, I'm saying my sounds are hard. But it's the way it is. Praise God. It would seem impossible to be changed in the same or the exact image of Christ. Doesn't it seem impossible? How old are you? Have you got there yet? When are you going to get there? Most of us in here have already passed the halfway point. We're over the hill. Once you go over the hill, it gets going faster, When's it going to happen? When is it going to happen? When are we going to get our eyes off this world? He that loves the world, thinks of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And start going after Christ. You can do that with ministry. Make ministry your goal. It is not our goal. Christ is. If I work hard enough for him, he'll let me in. No, sir. I just quoted that. I read it to you. Lord, we did this, we did that. He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You are outside of the image of Christ. I never knew you. The only ones he knows are those that are like his son. Praise God. Now, it looks impossible, but what did Jesus say in Luke 18:27? He said, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. It is God that works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Is that right? And I love this promise, Philippians 1:6. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me say this, you can come the easy way or you can come the hard way. And he knows how to make it hard. Hopefully we're not here this morning trying to get out of the hard way. Okay, that doesn't make sense. I want the Lord to do this and I want him to do that and I'm tired of this and this is making me hurt and this is whatever. Like as if he doesn't know what he's doing. You know what? He'll get you to the hog pen. Our jail there in Hopkins County, Northeast Texas, Hopkins County, is a brand new jail. State of the art. I mean, this is nice. Our assistant, and I'm hot natured, but our assistant pastor's already started wearing a jacket in there. It's really nice in there. I don't know about the rest of the state. Did you know? Now, the county jail is a nice place to be. Air conditioned. Well, I mean in comparison to prison. Okay. Come on, I see somebody shaking their head. I'm just okay. But you get to that prison, it's a different world. There's a man that I've known for many years, used to be on our church board. He never could, never would, whatever, get over drinking. And I can tell you how to quit being an alcoholic. Don't drink another drink. I can tell you how to quit smoking. Don't stick another one in your mouth. It's really simple. I can tell you how to quit looking at pornography. Don't look at it again. A pastor was telling about a man came and he came down the altar and he took a pack of cigarettes. And I'm not coming down on anybody's smokes, okay? Or whatever. I got my own problems to deal with, okay, so I'm not condemning anyone. I hope you understand that. But if the doctor tells you to quit smoking, it's okay. But if I tell you, get mad at me. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, he took the pack of cigarettes out and put them down on that altar and said, I want God to deliver me from these cigarettes. I want you to pray that this cigarette demon will leave me, whatever. He said, well, you repeat after me. Okay. He said, God, I will never smoke another one. And he got silent. He couldn't say it. The pastor said, I said, say it. He wouldn't say it. Couldn't say it. God would not tell us to do anything that we cannot do with his help. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he would be unfairly judging us. Understand that. I have to understand. We all have to understand that. It's not impossible with God. Praise God. Romans, well, I already read that to you. We'll never be accepted by God unless we're changed into the same or exact image of Christ. For that image is the only thing that God is well pleased with. Luke 3:22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape or form like a dove upon him, Christ. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew 17:5, and this is up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter's talking. And while Peter yet spoke, you know, he said, "Let's build three tabernacles." "Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them." That cloud was the same cloud over the tabernacle in the wilderness, the temple, and Jerusalem. "Overshadowed them, behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him.'" 2 Peter 1:17, "For he," speaking of Christ, "received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Nowhere in the Scripture did God ever say that about anyone else. Nowhere. He is only pleased with one thing, and that's the person of His Son. If He's going to be pleased with me or pleased with you, it'll be because we are being changed into the same image. We're coming into the image of Christ. Christ is being formed in us. These are all Scriptures. We're growing up into Christ in all things. We're coming into the full measure and stature of Christ. That's the only thing that He's going to accept. And to fail in that is to totally fail. Now, I'm going to stop there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Forgive us, Lord, for our selfishness, self-centeredness, self-assertion, self-preservation, all the self stuff. Praise God. I mean, that is the problem this morning. We're all about ourselves. And that's what's keeping us from being changed or transformed into the image of Christ. You can't be both. The world says discover yourself, find yourself, be yourself. And Christ says deny yourself. He can only come in to the degree that self goes out. Praise God. The more full you are of yourself, the less full you will be of Christ. And you're going to miss out. I was talking to a man. He was raised Catholic. He's a builder. High-rise stuff. I mean, big stuff. Makes lots of money. And a priest of a Roman Catholic church said, "I want you to build us a rectory. We need more priests here." So he went and got all his friends and twisted their arm kind of, that they would come and help him free of charge, bring their crews, and bring the material. And they built that rectory. They had a dinner, to appreciation dinner for this man, the builder. And so they're sitting there, and he told the head priest, wherever he is, I don't know all those terms. He said, "Well, I have one thing to ask of you. When I leave this life, I want to go straight up. I don't want to go to purgatory. I want you to fix that for me.
Go straight up."
Guys, there's not several levels of heaven. There's not. Half like Christ. 5/8 like Christ. You get to go over here. Fourths, you know. 3/4. 7/8. That's not the way it's going to be. It's all or nothing. You hear what I'm saying? Did your preacher preach that to you when you walked down the aisle? Did he tell you that? Or did he tell you how it's going to be a bed of roses? And hallelujah, we're sailing on in from here. You need to know there's a cost. The cost is that you deny yourself every day, daily. Oh, praise God. Let me give you the answer the priest gave. He said, "Brother, do you know how it's taken to build Peter's Basilica, the Sistine Chapel there in Italy, Rome?" They're still building it. He said some great men have been involved over the almost 2,000 years of building that thing, that building. Michelangelo, different ones, you know. He said none of them got to bypass purgatory. Who do you think you are going to bypass just because you built a rectory? He said that was his answer to him. He's supposed to be playing, guys. But that's what he told him. Will you stand with me? Praise God. You either want to be in the image of Christ or you don't. Halfway, partway won't work. If we would make that our objective in life, our goal in life, if we do that, a lot of the problems that we're having would just melt away. They'd be gone. They would be gone. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to sing this chorus with me. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. His wife over obedience to God. He chose his wife over the image of Christ. He was not deceived. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. In the spirit, fall out on the floor, or whatever else you want to do. Praise God. Praise God. If there's anyone that wants prayer, I invite you to come and stand. And otherwise, we're going to bless the food. Praise God, because we got a long day ahead. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening. Remember, only the Holy Spirit can change us into the image of Christ. That's why we must be filled with the Spirit. Lord, thank you for these wonderful men. Precious men that you brought here. Esteemed men. You told me that. You told me to say esteemed men. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. God, may we with all our heart go after Christ, your Son. hallelujah, and cooperate with you to be obedient. Thank you for forgiving us when we missed the image of Christ, when we dug in our heels, when we refused, when we saw something in this world that we wanted more. Oh God, if we've been Adam and chose Eve, forgive us, Lord. Praise God, and we bless your holy name. And we bless this food and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.